Siren Radio.
Might have just been myself, but I have a feeling that slight pause at the end meant she was forgetting her own name. It happens all the time as far as radio is actually concerned. You could be happily going along and then you actually forget.
William Coles, romantic novelist, political journalist and regular midweek drive correspondent from the capital of Scotland, with or without his prehistoric shark's teeth.
Never forget, never surrender, as has often been the phrase. How is Edinburgh this fine World Theatre Day, William Coles?
It's splendid. Yes, it's sunshine. Yeah, it's nice. You'd like it up here. Coming up.
Well, Abigail made it, and I'm sure we will be heading up before too long to head north of the border. And as I said, it is World Theatre Day. We had hoped that Ellen would have had a cracking theatre review to actually bring to us, but because she's just a saint, when given the choice between going off to the theatre and entertaining herself, or indeed taking her flatmate to... Was it a flatmate or flatmate?
Flatmate.
To accident emergency because they'd broken their foot. You chose the theatre. Now, it's a way for... Anyway, welcome to the Midweek Drive, Ellen.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
Excellent. As Eloise said, thank the Lord, somebody is finally taking over my role as the newbie. Yes, it's all right, Eloise. Sort of through from that point of view. Bethany is out and about doing a whole range of things. We worked so hard at the new Theatre Royal Lincoln, in which we actually saw Pigs in Blankets, William. Pigs in Blankets, all part of the Easter pantomime that's coming up there. Natalie Hayes Cowley was on top form, especially with the blankets and pigs. And carrots as well, because they were there as well. Extraordinary. I'll be going out as a podcast very, very shortly. Rory McGowan is here, our Bedfordshire man.
Yes, I am.
We say Bedfordshire man because a bit like Essex man in the 20th century, Bedfordshire man is basically where we go to find out what the general sort of way the wind is blowing, which direction it's blowing and so on and so forth. It's gender specific, admittedly, but he is Bedfordshire man. Just thought, I don't want to go into gender fluidity at this stage, otherwise it confuse the people, confuse us. And of course, the gentleman who kind of, he's from Brighton, he might be going to Wembley. I say it three times because you need those.
Well, sat at home watching the telly.
Or in Scarborough. I mean, exactly. You could be joining Eloise and myself in Scarborough for Sci-Fi Scarborough. It's extraordinary. But Rory is joined by Ben. They're almost twins separated.
Did you try and... You always
did you see what I did there? Exactly.
You tried to recover it.
Yeah,
you
well,
really
you
don't
know.
Do a good job of it, honestly.
It's so difficult.
You did it twice. So, you do it so often.
Yeah, well, it's so similar. You see, this is a twin separated at birth.
Quite clearly.
Very much. William, what sort of things have you been doing in Edinburgh and why should we pop up and see you immediately?
I have just been down to the border country, Cumbria, and I have seen a frieze above a mantelpiece of a battle that they're not allowed to talk about in Scotland. If you were to start talking about this battle in Scotland, you would be shunned. They don't like it at all. We're talking the Battle of Flodden, which was about 500 years ago, in which the Scottish king and all the Scottish nobility were slaughtered. And anyway, in the borders, they English borders, they absolutely loved this battle. And this chap who I was staying with for a night, one of his ancestors had been the general in charge, and so he loved talking about Flodden.
Not surprised. I mean, there are many people actually overseas who will love talking about Kazakhstan as well, and even probably the joys of Costa Rica. No, not Costa Rica. What was I saying? Who was the other? They beat 2-0 basically recently. See, there we are. We've obviously done our sports research on this particular.
Our pub trivia is really well.
It's not good. The Battle of Flodden was fought in Branxton in the county of Northumberland in Northern England on the 9th of September 1513. So, literally nearly 3:15 in the afternoon. Between an invading Scots army under King James IV and an English army commanded by the Earl of Surrey. So there we are.
I think the Scots like the Battle of Bannockburn. Isn't that the...
They do. They
that's
do
their favourite battle. The only one they've actually won, isn't it?
They've won a few, actually. They've won... Bonnie Prince Charlie won the Battle of Preston Pans just outside Edinburgh when he sneaked in the morning through a path through the marshes. And then they had the Battle of Falkirk Bridge and Stirling Bridge. That's about it. But all the school kids up here, they are taught all about the Scottish winds from a very young age.
It's propaganda.
I was going to say exactly that, propaganda. Yeah, that's clearly the message. I mean, Eloise, what do you think? I mean, do you think that's just Scottish blatant propaganda?
Well, Well, I don't know. I find all the Scottish stuff interesting, so...
Actually, is there a Scottish connection in your background, Eloise?
No, my name's Irish.
Fine. Celtic, I suppose. Celtic. Celtic. And what about the Humberside view, Ellen?
Humberside view? Mm. Well, Scottish have been through a lot. Probably just let them have the wins.
Well said. Well said. Through a lot. Let them actually have the wins of the whole sequence. San Marino, in case people are wondering. That's the key thing. Just as we say San Marino, Andrew arrives, which is fantastic stuff there. Sorry, he's not speaking. He's just the managing editor. He's handed in the thing. That's very good. 2902. Very good message there. Okay, Rory. Clearly McGowan has got certain Celtic images to it. I mean, when you sort of saw the result, San Marino 0, Scotland 2, did you actually celebrate throughout the fields and valleys of the area?
Oh, obvious football lover, celebrated it everywhere, of course.
I loved Kazakhstan, but you had to sort of be positive on that sort of thing. Meanwhile, England have got 10-1 on average in their last three teams. But let's not celebrate that whole side of things. Eloise,
hello.
Questions for Bill Coles? Maybe he might have some advice on what to do if we do meet Brian Blessed on Friday, which is highly likely.
Well, I was just going to ask him what he's done over the weekend, really.
Oh, very good.
Always doing something a bit strange.
Well, he's skiing. Exactly. What have you been doing, William Coles?
I have been immersing myself in these Scottish losses. This mate, he's got a small castle in Cumbria. And we went up to the battlement, and he was pointing out all the places where the lot had got a drubbing. Even a battle 2,000 years ago, and he merely points out this sort of rather flat...
As we like to say, a sound spanking.
Yeah, they got a sound spanking 2,000 years ago from the Romans. Mm. And, yes, that's the border mentality.
Well, that's why the Hadrian's Wall was built, of course, to keep out those... fine folks and their woad and their strange, painty ways, effectively. It's no good, you know, Scottish people saying, it's not woad, it's just my Paul McGann or Paul McGoon autograph. That's a well-known Scottish actor, not quite as famous as the McGann brothers from Liverpool. Okay, it's over to you, William. Did that satisfy your sort of desire for finding out what William was doing over the weekend?
Yeah, it's always more entertaining than my weekends.
So. Oh, come now. You were just saying before the show started that you actually spent some time with a fine Comic-Con event.
Yeah, but this is a rare occasion. Like, William's weekends are normally a lot more cooler, so...
Okay, well, what's the most exciting thing you've done in the last month, then? What have you
had a good night's sleep, I reckon. Yeah. It's probably the best thing.
Okay, have you had an adventure in the last month?
Other than working at Comic-Con, which doesn't really count, no. But thank you for asking.
What's the most trying experience of meeting a sci-fi fan? Because obviously science fiction fans, comic fans, etc. attend comic cons.
Yes.
We are going to Sci-Fi Weekend on Friday and Saturday. Ben's first ever event.
My first ever comic con.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, comic con virginity.
I'm not sure what William's views are with respect to this, but think kind of like book signings, but crazy. What advice would you provide us, Eloise?
Try and brush up on stuff before you go.
Well, that's a lot of brushing up to do then.
Yeah, because when fans come and talk to me about stuff and I have no idea what
we're
going
we'll
on
just push you to the front. You could be the mouthpiece of the Siren crew and I'll just sort of be the...
You'll be the tweeter.
Yes, yes.
The celebrity tweeter, exactly.
Yes.
Hashtag Sam Jones. Gordon's alive. We'll have some Flash Gordon material coming up in the near future. William, it's time for that moment which I know all debut folk... sometimes they get a little bit feared with respect to this. Sometimes they actually embrace the challenge, etc. Rory, of course, went through the William Coles interview and passed with flying colours, as we said.
Thank you very much.
It's time for you to quiz Ellen Kutranger in the 2 minute William Coles interview. William, as ace journalist and so on and so forth, what would you like to ask our Humberside correspondent, Ellen Granger?
Ellen, hi. What is your strategy for the next 10 years? What are you after in 10 years' time? Where do you see yourself?
Where do I see myself? Oh, tough one. Okay. So, obviously, I see myself having graduated from university and I'll have a full work experience portfolio in my hopefully future course, PR and communications. And just to see, if not the world, then definitely parts of England.
that's pretty much where we sit, isn't it? If not the world, then definitely parts of England.
Well, that's good. I mean, most people, they sort of aspire to have visited more countries than their age. And you're looking to see more counties than your age.
Oh, I've seen countries. I've barely seen any of England.
Lincoln, right, Lincoln was like a foreign land to you, I believe. You know,
you took me to Yorkshire for the first time. When was it last year?
It was part of my duty as a practitioner of pedagogy to actually enlighten and lead
sort
through
my
that
initiation
process.
Into sirens. Go to Yorkshire.
Exactly. And there's a lot of fine stuff in Yorkshire, certainly. I'm sorry, William, we're cutting in across your interview. You can still continue throwing in questions.
Okay. Any pets that you aspire to have, Ellen?
Any pets?
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, pets. I am primarily a cat person, but, you know, try to be more social. Maybe want a dog. Because I feel like dogs are like mini humans, if you know what I mean. Responsibility.
If you want to be a dog is best, yes. Cat owners don't really get together and have a chat about how wonderful their cats are.
Yeah, well, you've never met a cat owner, then.
Yeah, exactly. This is true. I mean, I've been to a lot of events where cat owners have actually been present.
Yeah.
And they have been very, very fulsome in their
thoughts. What are these events? You must elaborate.
The small animal XL show in Harrogate
was
wow! Exactly, and actually there are lots of cat challenges around the world. In fact, actually, let's face it, we are one of the few radio stations that actively support the National Hero Cat. Which is sponsored by Purina and is held at a posh London hotel every year. So that's the third year running.
We yet to receive an invite, though.
No, we have.
Have we? I just kept that very quiet.
I haven't been able to find the time to sort of trek down there from that point of view. The cats don't actually turn up. They actually send the owners send in videos of their cats because it wouldn't be fair, you know, the notion
that
of.
That sounds amazing.
It's a feline party.
Well, you know, it's a perfectly formed aspect of life. Anyway, were you satisfied, William, with those responses? Do you think she did well?
Yeah, she did excellently.
It's well said. So let's see if Rory can remember the last two questions to put to you before we hopefully head off to probably Fiona Curzon.
William, have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us today on the show?
It's been more than reasonably interesting. Thank you so much.
And will you be joining us again soon?
Just as soon as boss asked me, yes.
In the space capsule, quite literally, in the space capsule. Yeah, well, we would. Particularly if it's Ming the Merciless, played by Max von Sydow. You are probably all too young to remember the joys of Flash Gordon, the wonderful movie, but Anna Lewis can probably remember Flash Gordon, can you not?
I do, yes, and I also remember Dick Barton's Special Agent.
Devil's Gavel. Devil's Gavel. That is actually it's Dick Barton very much going back. But yeah, so Flash Gordon, and we are kind of possibly heading to a kind of little mini Flash Gordon celebration. That would be Ben and Eloise and probably Bethany, and possibly even Abigail on Saturday, where we head off to Sheffield for Sci-Fi Weekend, where not only do we have Sam Jones, Flash Gordon himself, Savior of the Universe, and Brian Blessed, who has done much more than Flash Gordon, has to be said. Much. He's been in Doctor Who.
He has.
Erkanos, married off to Purple Gillian Brown. He's also been in The Avengers. That's the John Steed, Tara King.
Hellman's advert.
Yeah, thank you.
he's been a Tom Tom voice as well, hasn't he?
He's been all manner of things. And actually, I hear that his vocals on the recent Warhammer series has kind of helped propel the audio event to unforeseen sales before. So great news there. And of course, he was in Zedcast, as we mentioned. So great stuff there. Who knows? He might ignore us completely, or it may be the pinnacle of his career. We just don't know. Anna, what have you been getting up to when you haven't been keeping your phone on silent? Because obviously.
I am guilty. And the problem was I went to Richmond Library this morning and I got bombarded with stuff. And, of course, you have to use a locker there. It's one of those local studies library where they're strict about security. So I completely forgot. I walked out of the library and then completely forgot that I'd switched the volume off. So apologies. But, yes, it's back to normal now.
Well, basically, Ellen, you know, if we're doing phone links, it's important. Phone is switched on. Otherwise, disaster happens, as we just had. Thankfully, Anna managed to rescue it. I use social media to get back to me and say, phone on silent. So we juggle things around a wee bit. Ben, would you like to throw a few questions to Anna? Because you're heading to London. She might have some thoughts about what you could do and see with your friends and family.
Yes,
London.
Potentially, yes. Anna, is there anything unusual... not quite mainstream sort of London tourism that you think would be worth checking out?
Well, I think that it's something I haven't done, but I've heard is absolutely wonderful. And you have to book online. It's free to go in, but it's the Temple of Mithras, which is in the city. I think it's one of these, like, American companies that bought the site and then they discovered there was a temple underneath. So they shifted the building slightly to the side of the site, which is the Temple of Mithras. So if you know that you're going to be there on that day, I think it would be well worth, and it's free, to book in advance and have a look at that. Failing that, if you can stretch your energy to go to Kew Gardens, which is where I tend to go quite a lot because I was given a membership for a year by my old job, it's worth paying the money to go to. It's the most incredible. I mean, you don't have to be a nature lover to go there. It's just a lovely open space and... yeah, you just feel completely... The only downside is you get these huge planes flying overhead every couple of minutes. But
well, if you will actually build an airport near, do you? I mean, what
do you
expect?
I know. Yes, but it's worth visiting. Mm. Yeah,
so Kew Gardens or the Temple of Mithras?
Where's the Temple of Mithras?
It's in the city. I can't give you a precise address, but if you Google it, it's in the city.
The Temple of Mithras. Already, Ben has thrust his hands into his pockets. Don't worry, it's nothing seedy. And he has brought out his social device, and he's sounding out that Temple of Mithras.
He's doing the Google.
Doing the Google, indeed. Exactly so. Let's move over to Eloise. Eloise, are you a Great British Bake Off person?
No. I can't be bothered to turn my TV on at the moment. So
right,
I'm just ignoring everything.
That makes perfect sense. Rory, British Bake Off.
The rest of my family love it, but alas, I do not.
Well, you might like to let your family know that Ruby Bogle will actually be appearing, a Great British Bake Off finalist from 2018. We'll be coming along to the programme tomorrow, actually, to talk about her whole
new...
Oh, that's very just had confirmation of that coming through with a new campaign she's running with the United Nations World Food Programme Project, Helping Mums Together. That's the official line that she's actually doing, a campaign which looks to encourage the nation to deal with nutrition-boosting meals to new and expectant mums across the globe.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Profound area. Have you found Mithras
yes.
yet, Ben?
Yes, it's near Banks, near Cannon Street by London Bridge. Right.
there we have it. And, I mean, in that strange-sounding way, Ellen Granger, Temple of Mithras, is it something which appeals to you, or Kew Gardens? Where would you go, Kew Gardens or Temple of Mithras?
I'm a bit of a nature lover myself.
So Kew Gardens. Yeah. I mean, not saying that Temple of Mithras didn't actually have one tune with humanity. Yeah, I think the brain is sort of just basically going into backward reverse notion at this particular stage. Never mind, it is World Theatre Day. But intriguing. And from your own point of view, can we ask you to make a preference, Anna? Is it Kew Gardens or Temple of Mithras?
Well, Kew's on my doorstep, so I have to sort of side with that. But it's the sort of thing that everything's different every day just because the weather changes and things look different. But the Temple of Mithras sounds intriguing. And I've heard it's fantastic and I haven't been there. So, yeah, if someone can do a recce for me, that'd be really good.
Sounds like that's the next location report, or one of them that we're sort of planning ahead to. Already we're looking ahead to the North of England Horticultural Society Spring Flower Show. And a whole heap of other goodies as well. Of course, as I say, Ben's first ever science fiction weekender. Tomorrow morning, George Mann will be on the programme, and you'll have a chance to speak to him in person. So, George,
I've spoken to him before in person.
Have you?
Well, yeah, because he does the...
He does do the stone tapes. I wasn't sure whether he just ignored you all this time, though.
Well, we've never had a conversation.
Well, exactly.
We've spoken a few times, but not like a...
Well, you're now being ascended.
A formal introduction, if you call it that.
You're being accelerated into the whole notion of actually genuinely being
able to... I've seen him enough, though, yeah.
Yeah, but, you know, it's a different thing when you're actually connected on the show.
Yeah, Louise would like him quite a lot.
Oh. Would I?
He's written a lot of Doctor Who stuff.
That would be a yes, I would, then.
There we go.
Okay, moving on. Fiona Cousin hopefully will be connecting with us in a few moments. We're still going to try and squeeze Abigail in before the news. Eloise, would you like to put those last two questions to Anna? And she's got her volume turned up, so she'll be able to hear us.
Oh, that's brilliant. Anna, have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us today?
I certainly have, thank you.
Will you be joining us again soon?
Oh, I'd love to. Thanks for that.
It's probably only Clifford T. Ward who, when he was on this planet, could actually churn out the line "Yesterday in Parliament" and make a popular music ditty about it. These days, far too serious for that. Isn't that right, Fiona?
Yep, absolutely.
Very, very serious. How many amendments can we actually have? Well, let's have 7. No, we'll go for 8. I don't know. We'll have some more amendments. Let's make some amendments to actually have some more amendments for those sort of things. What's it like for you?
I can't turn the Today programme on.
No.
If I see the news, I just think, oh dear God, here we go again. I think we've all had it, haven't we?
Well,
I mean, apparently, so a friend of mine came back from Canada and she said, we're a laughing stock over there.
Well, we have actually raced, and I think we have now won the race with the United States of America to become the global laughing stock of Fun Things.
I think we're probably a close runner-up.
Close runner-up.
I think we're yet to win. I think that's. I think we're still climbing that at the minute.
Yeah, but
we're climbing pretty fast, aren't we?
Nah.
I mean, they're all ghastly. I mean, I look at anybody. I mean, and do you know, somebody said something very interesting to me the other day. You know those two Miliband brothers?
Mm-hmm.
And the one stabbed the brother in the back in order to get...
Metaphorically, Fiona. It wasn't a literal thing.
I know.
I mean, knife crime being what it is, we can't go down that route.
No, I know. I'm so sorry. Fiona, yeah. and do you know, things have gone wrong since then. Because the right man for the job was his brother. And if his brother was there, there would have been competition, everyone would have been on their toes, and none of this rubbish would have happened.
Well,
I really believe that.
Exactly. We're having to just sort out a buzzing microphone, which I think I've sorted.
It doesn't matter what side you're on, if you're Conservative or Labour, you need a good shout on both sides.
Do you think, Fiona, do you think they're both out of touch with the rest of the public at this moment in time?
Yes, I do, actually, completely. And that's why I think I'm known for being impossible. I talk to people on the bus and everywhere. I've just been checking my blood in Chelsea and Westminster, and I talk to all the patients in there and the staff. And the point is that everybody's fed up. Do you know, we all want everyone to have food on their plate, to be able to pay the rent, to get on with their lives. You know, I mean, it's just hopeless. It really is. They know that we want this. Any decent human being wants everyone to be safe, well, and eat.
Let's just do a straw poll in the studio. Because I know it is important, Ben. You know, we've got four fine examples of the next generation in the studio. Eloise, Fiona's made the...
And they're all crap. They're all crap. I'm sorry, on all sides they're rubbish. They are absolute rubbish.
Eloise.
You know, nobody goes into politics. I'll tell you what. You used to go into politics after you'd done a job. Granny here can tell you. People in politics used to have a job and then they'd go into politics. This lot don't know how to run a job. They don't know how to run a cafe. They don't know how to do anything.
You're right.
They've never had another job.
You're right.
And that is the problem. They don't know the real world.
Obviously, Ben, you're
not all. I wouldn't say all of them are like that, but a good deal of them are.
Yeah, I mean, they've got. I mean, I want people in there who've got experience, who know what the real world is like.
Okay, let's move back to that little straw poll. Eloise, does that chime with your...
Okay, I'll get off the sofa.
I'm not getting involved.
You're abstaining from your neutral.
Oh, I know. I'm going to make you laugh. Can I make you all laugh?
We need it, Fiona. Let's go for it.
Well, I've been in hospital today for one problem. As you know, I've had a few problems over the last year or two. And I've got a thingy up in the feminine department that needs to be taken out. Well, I was given an appointment by, I mean, the Marsden Hospital, which, as you all know, is a top cancer hospital, told Chelsea and Westminster about this. And I got an appointment, wait for this, on the 27th of June.
Mm-hmm.
And this is, we're talking about the 1st of March.
Mm-hmm.
So I went into the department, and guess what? She said, oh yes, we've given you an appointment on the 27th of June. She said, it's for the menopause team. I said, sweetheart, I said, if you look on IMDb, I'm 72 years old and I do not need the menopause department. Does nobody read?
Yeah.
I mean, oh God.
This is why my dream scenario, really, if we could actually fly Fiona up here, would be Brian Blessed and Fiona Curzon on the same radio programme. Yeah, you get your Yorkshire, you get your Chelsea supporter, you get all sorts of things from that point of view.
I mean, actually, my consultant today... You can't dream this one up. He just couldn't believe it.
Yeah. It's not going to appear in an episode of Casualty or Holby City in the foreseeable future. But you never know.
I know.
Okay, Ellen, you've been listening to Fiona's ramification. This is one of the reasons why we have on the schedule Fiona Curzon providing another premier Anglo-French actor's perspective on life. And what are your thoughts or views? Does it chime with your sort of experience of politics in general?
It does, yeah. I think more than ever, politicians can't really relate to the people that are...
How did your flatmate with her broken foot sort of find the experience last week of the NHS?
We spent about 6 hours in A&E.
Six hours?
6 hours.
Before you were even seen?
Yes.
Right.
Do you know, the trouble is there's too much admin. I mean, my husband is a volunteer at Chelsea in Westminster. He's on the... I'm going to be doing hospital radio there as well, so that's why it's great talking to you guys.
Well,
and sorry, I've lost my thread.
You were talking about your husband on the management team, or at least on the volunteers. Exactly.
He's been on the front desk. He has that 3 afternoons a week there, and he's done it for over 10 years. And it's just amazing because he. All right, I'm going to turn that off.
Yes.
All right, he gets complaints from consultants. I mean, consultants have to fill in forms, and they dream up another form for them to fill. Mm. They've been consulting for 25 years. Forms.
Yeah, they may have been consulting, but they haven't actually sorted out their bureaucracies yet. We have a similar challenge in education, but let's not go there, because politically it's
do you think it's just an out-of-date system with the NHS at the minute? For, you know, in terms of...
I'll tell you what, I was really pleased today. There was a darling little girl there, very attractive, who's doing pain therapy. You know, she gives pain therapy. She works for the hospital. And she told us, because I said, for a start, you've got to charge people who don't pitch up. And she said, if you don't pitch up for her at her GPs, do you know what they do?
What do they do, Fiona?
And you haven't bothered to cancel.
Do they shoot them?
£250.
There you go.
And they're warned because they're sent 3 days running. Your appointment is in 3 days. Your appointment is in 2 days. Your appointment is in 1 day.
That's the kind of world in which we live in. It's strange, but we love it. We wouldn't have it any other way.
But I think it's terrific that they're doing that. You learn a lesson. You won't be late again, will you?
It shows a scene. We have to ask you, Fiona, just very briefly, as a Chelsea supporter, what are your views on Brighton and Hove Albion, who obviously play Manchester City in the semi-final of the FA Cup in the near future?
Well, I think I might switch allegiance quite soon.
Really?
Chelsea?
Yeah.
Oh, please.
We will welcome you at Brighton.
Well, there we are, you see. That's sort of breaking news. Fiona Curzon, after how many years that you followed the Blues at Stamford Bridge?
I know, I can't bear it, actually. Because we're going to lose all the top players if we don't get rid of the manager.
But what will happen is it'll get to the 90th minute and he will refuse to come off as a manager.
Exactly. These are the message.
That's what will happen. He'll refuse.
Flatly refuse.
Until
refuse
someone
completely.
Drags him out of that ground.
We're referring, Alan, of course, to the Carabao Cup final, in case you're always just a bit confused there. I can tell a slight confusion there. It's the Carabao Cup final 2019. Manchester City, who won it, playing Chelsea.
Oh, I know. But actually, do you know something? Somebody told me, an informed person told me, that the goalkeeper who he was trying to get off is useless at penalties.
Mm.
And that's why he was trying to get him off.
Mm.
And he had cramped twice.
Exactly.
I mean...
But as a Man City fan, you'd appreciate Fiona. I was quite pleased you stayed on. But that's another story for another time.
Yeah.
Rory, would you like to put those last two questions to Fiona, having now basically put Parliament right, put the NHS right, and indeed Bruce Buck and the Chelsea directorial staff as well, presumably, if they're listening, which they should be.
I can, Alex. So, Fiona, have you had a interesting telephonic link with us today on the programme?
Well, I hope I've made it interesting for you. I'm sorry.
Ever mindful of the audience, you see.
I rather steamroll it ahead, but, you know, cheerio, dear.
Let's have a round of applause for Fiona on World Theatre Day, steamrolling ahead, because that's what we need. And will
you
return?
Thank you. Yeah, of course I will.
When the rains came down in the hollow, playing a new game, laughing and running, hey, hey, skipping and jumping in the misty morning fog with all our hearts thumping, and you, my brown-eyed girl, and you. gone so slow. Gone down the old man with a transistor radio. Standing in the sunlight laughing, hiding behind a rainbow's wall. Slipping and sliding all along the waterfall with you. A brown-eyed girl. We used to sing sha la 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 la, just like that. Sha la 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 la. You have grown. Cast my memory back there, Lord. Sometimes I'm overcome thinking about making love in the green grass behind the stadium with you, my brown-eyed girl. And you, my brown-eyed girl, do you remember when we used to sing sha la 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 la.
Van Morrison and Brown Eyed Girl. Abigail LeMay, what do you say with respect to Abigail LeMay? She sent me a wonderful email in the week, effectively. If you're hearing noises off, it's Ben, because he's obviously coughing like... There's nobody's beside me. I lower the microphone, we can still hear him coughing in the background.
Just honey and
yeah,
water.
Yeah. So at least as long as it's not a phlegm, because that's really bad.
It's not phlegm.
You know, 20 to 6 on an evening, you don't want to have phlegm before.
I'm at the back end of it now, so it's all good.
Oh, yeah, might well be at the back end of it. Still, it's who knows what could happen. Anyway, we had the line that she was mortified that she wasn't able to actually come along to last Thursday's Madrid Drive morning. She formally apologised, effectively. Cole made her a bit of a scatterbrain. But Eloise, she says...
Have I been blamed?
Gave me a stern talking to. A stern talking to we have here, and assured me the show went out just fine. But again, she was really sorry. You know?
I said she'd let me down. So
there we go.
Exactly. And we've just got a voicemail now, so somewhere in Iceland and something.
You expect an incoming email, you know?
Who knows what could happen? Different country. So who knows? But she will hopefully be back with us before. She's from Canada, by the way, Ellen, just in case you're wondering why.
Maybe
so
her phone's confused. Frozen.
Exactly. Oh. Exactly. These things will actually happen. However, in the second part of the programme, we've got another musical offering. Stop and Start. Stop and Start. Joe Ramsey, who's a musician who's had a whole range of very positive things said about him. We'll speak about Joe. Steve Dickinson, co-founder of Sci-Fi Scarborough, will be joining us. Larry Nemejek, of course, from Dr. Trek. He is Dr. Trek. We'll be discussing Star Trek Discovery. And Annette Andre will be providing us with another audio letter from the United States of America. We may even be speaking to Phil Leonis, who should be back with us now, depending on what other challenges he's been faced with in life and various other bits of
marriage.
I just said, depending on what other challenges he might have been faced with in life and so on. Coming up in a matter of moments, the Siren News after Garbage. Just got a sense, just a teeny, teeny, tiny sense that maybe the energy levels just weren't there. We know we can switch it on, we can switch it off, we can control it, but do we really understand what it is? We certainly know that every time Annette Andre joins us on the programme, the atmosphere is electric with anticipation, excitement in so many delightful ways. Annette, how are you? Welcome back to Midweek Drive.
Very well, Zach.
How are you? We're good. This is, of course, the last weekend that effectively we can say, as far as time's concerned, it's coming up to 5 to 6pm in English time, but in California time, it's 5 to 11 o'clock in the morning, I believe, or 10:55. Yeah, no. Because next week our clocks spring forward, and well, who knows what else will actually happen? It's extraordinary.
It's lovely. It's into the summertime. Lovely. I love that.
Yeah, exactly. It all connects together, and the quartet of quality in the studio, comprising Ellen Granger, Rory McGowan, Ben Lewis, and Eloise Sheehan, are all keenly awaiting what thoughts and magical momentary things you'll be bringing to us today with your monthly audio missive from San Diego.
Right. Are you raising the bid, or is that just a sea tile? That question probably crossed the minds of many who hoisted a hand at a recent auction of Adolf Hitler's paintings. The auction in Nuremberg, Germany, came with a disclaimer absolving the gallery from any moral or legal responsibility arising from the Führer's palette. The paintings, a mixed bag of pedestrian lakesides and mountain landscapes, were being offered at €45,000 in the opening bids, a premium price that obviously hinged more on the signature A. Hitler in the lower right-hand corner than on the picture's artistic merit. Apparently, there's been a large increase in the market for Hitler's art in the last 10 years. A decade that's also produced a sweeping rise of radical right throughout Europe. In a pointed effort to dampen the suspect honor of buying the handiwork of history's premier monster, the German government has seized dozens of works attributed to Hitler, declaring them frauds. And rightly so, I thought, coming down hard on the side of not giving the slightest boost to that untalented creature's memory by allowing his dabbles to live on after him. But then, I remembered a man I'd worked with whose career and reputation had been officially condemned and his life put in jeopardy. Maurice Chevalier was a legendary French singer and actor when I was cast opposite him early in my career in the feature film Panic Button. Over the years, I'd heard rumors of his being accused of collaborating with the Nazis during their occupation of France. But if that sort of bit of gossip had any currency, his overwhelming charm and kindness to a young and inexperienced actress instantly overrode any doubts I'd had about his character. I thought him the most generous and the happiest man I had ever met. But all these years later, reading about the Hitler art auction reawakened the rumors about Chevalier's collaboration. I wondered what Google and history had to say. Sure enough, there it was, a damning bill of particulars charging him with entertaining the Boche in command performances at the famed Casino de Paris and at hospitals and a prisoner of war camp in Germany. The Germans publicized his appearances in the press and on the radio, giving his seemingly willing collaboration a wide audience, which led the French underground to declare him a traitor and condemn him to death. I was devastated to think that this gentle, giving, wonderfully talented man had thrown in with that murderous crowd, that his need for the limelight had blinded him to the devil's trade he'd made. I didn't want to believe what seemed to be the stone-cold truth and kept searching the vast archive of Chevalier's life. A Daily Express story from 1944 reported that Chevalier had indeed entertained at a POW camp in Germany and several times at the Casino de Paris for the occupying Germans. The story confirmed that the French underground had ordered his execution. My heart sank. There it was in black and white, no longer gossip. But just as I was about to fold the tent, my eyes fell on another news report headlined, Chevalier Collaboration Charges False. And an 11th-hour turn of events as exciting and improbable as a John Wayne cavalry charge routing the enemy, a reporter had exposed the Express story as a German plant and revealed the facts behind Chevalier's performances for the enemy. Fighting for France in World War I, Chevalier had been captured by the Germans and held for 2 years in an infamous POW camp, an experience that apparently haunted him. After turning down repeated German demands that he entertained for them, Chevalier struck a secret deal. He'd perform a limited number of times in return for the Germans releasing 10 French POWs from the camp where he'd been held prisoner. But just hours before this story broke, the underground had captured Chevalier and were about to execute him. For years after the war, the press and the public were divided whether Chevalier was guilty or innocent of collaborating with the Germans. To some, the secret deal was a stretch too far for exoneration. For others, including me, the man had served his country honorably and paid a price for bargaining his talent and integrity. Of his many films, his performance in Gigi stands out, if only that I see in his scenes with Leslie Caron the young me. His taking my hand and with the assurance of his years, gently kissing away my fears. This was not a man who would be a traitor to himself. That's it.
Perfect. And I was so very tempted, actually, Annette, to go into Zangief and for little girls, they grow up in the most delightful way. But I thought, no, it's inappropriate at this stage. And you have to see it. You have to listen to it in the extent of Gigi at the same time, basically. Leslie Caron, of course. Another famous friend, Alan. Was it Alain Delon in Gigi? I think he might have been.
Or about yeah. No. It was Charles Jourdain.
Thank you. Yes, who went on to be Dracula. But there we are. It just goes to show they don't get musicals like that anymore. But maybe, Eloise, you would sort of contradict that. I mean, in terms of your love of Gene Kelly, where does Maurice Chevalier fit in your kind of appreciation of musical artists?
It's all right, but not
all
quite.
Right. And that's done an entire media audio missive there about Maurice Chevalier, and all you can say is he's all right.
But personally, my opinion is he's not the best, but I can appreciate.
Okay, Ellen, have you heard of Maurice Chevalier?
I can't say I have.
Right, you see, education, that's what this is all about, Annette, educating the next generation.
You know, exactly. I think age counts here as well.
Yeah, but I remember it well. We met at 8. Rory, Maurice Chevalier.
Can't say I've heard of him either.
See, these are the things you need to use, that great search engine.
The uneducated
to
youth.
Find out. There's so much information out there, Annette. And you know, Ben obviously will be typing in Maurice Chevalier as we speak. And have got details to together for the whole thing. But good to know that he wasn't a Nazi, because that's, I mean, the crux of the whole thing, because that's essential and very important, because you never can tell. I mean, you know, you'd be rumours that From the Grave he's supporting Donald Trump, but it's never going to happen. Anyway. any other... Rory, you had a question.
You're really scraping the bottom of the barrel for good characteristics if you're saying, well, at least he's not a Nazi, Alex.
Yeah, but he's you know the tension. I mean, Annette will sort of sympathise with this. You appreciate the delicate negotiations that we're having in Westminster at this moment in time over the whole sort of French and various other European nations and our relationship with Britain. It must make you keen to come back to Britain, Annette.
I'm not sure.
Very good, very sensible. That's what we like to hear.
But mind you, no matter where you look, we're all having issues. So, you know, one place is as good as the other at the moment.
Exactly.
Or as bad, whichever way you want to look at it.
It's just as well we have the midweek drive to keep us sane for at least, you know...
That's absolutely right.
2 hours every week. Yeah, so that's 4 hours if you include the midweek drive morning edition. Ben, any questions you'd like to put to Annette, such as how to cure your cough?
Yes, do you know any home remedies, Annette, to cure a cough?
Yeah, if we take the allergies away, I'd be absolutely fine. We're absolutely, I mean, it's allergy heaven at the moment here. So, you know, people are running around with runny eyes or burning eyes, which I've got at the moment. And then your throat suddenly catches and you cough or you sneeze or you do something. So,
is that hay fever?
Well, not exactly hay fever, but, I mean, I don't actually have hay fever, but a lot of people are going around sneezing, including Arthur. And, you know, it's just one of those times. All the blossoms are coming out and everything's being blown around.
It's almost as though the good Lord in his infinite wisdom actually created something which is going to actually just cause irritants and allergies for us. Ben, I think the answer is she hasn't got a clue.
Well,
exactly.
So, you know,
but at least you can actually savour the you can empathise across the Atlantic. As Annette has her allergies, you have your allergies here as well. So it just goes
indeed.
To show, it doesn't matter whether you're in Britain
or
indeed America.
It's just the cold, though.
Those tickly coughs still sort
everywhere.
Of work through. They're here,
absolutely
there, and everywhere. Annette, I'm not sure whether I know he's been in lots of series that you're in, but have you ever worked with Brian Blessed before?
The what?
Have you ever worked with Brian Blessed, the actor?
Oh, Brian. No, I haven't. I know who he is, of course. I've never actually worked with him.
Well, we'll hopefully put that right. I'll start working. In fact, I'll put the word in on Friday when we meet up with him and just sort of mention that. I wasn't sure, because I know he did appear in The Ghost That Robbed the Bank at Monte Carlo in Randall and Hopkirk Deceased, but I wasn't sure whether you had any scenes together.
Oh, yes, he did. No, I don't think I had scenes with him.
Yeah.
But that's right, you're right, he did. I forgot about that.
Well, that's...
But sometimes, you know, there are so many people going in and out. I mean, you have 26 episodes.
Yep.
And every 2 weeks, there's a whole band of new people come in, and you say goodbye and hello. And unless you know them well...
They're like ships that pass in the night.
Well, I guess you'd know if you worked with Brian, because you'd hear him before you saw him.
I mean, actually, Brian had a more understated... I think, actually, what led Brian Blessed to become the bombastic Brian, and I'll actually ask him this on Friday if we get the chance, was the beard. Before he had the beard, relatively calm, if you actually look back on...
The beard makes men angry, too.
I don't think it's angry.
Well,
it's just a case of it just opens up a little bit more. Maybe it's long
it's more sort of testosterone.
Maybe it's because he's the only person I've ever met who actually claims that he can remember being born, actually physically being born. He reads his autobiography, Pandemonium.
Really? Does that?
He physically remembers being born, emerging from the womb. It's a thought to ponder, really.
Good Lord.
Yeah, exactly.
Was it difficult? Was it dark? Going into the light, or what?
I think those are the lines that he actually said. And in fact, you know, in terms of the actual sequence, the book Pandemonium is...
They came out of a beard then.
Best not go that way, actually, Ben, because it could be deemed to be just borderline questionable from that point of view. Eloise, would you like to put those last two questions to Annette Andre, please? Because we need to move on.
I think we do. Mm. Have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us today?
That way.
Well, yeah, it always is, and this was quite different.
Oh. Yes, it was.
It's the allergies, you see. It's the allergies.
Very and all that sort of thing.
Yeah. And will you be joining us again sometime?
I hope so.
Exactly. That'll be for our Easter special. Fantastic, because, of course, this has been the Lenten penance, and Lord knows we've gone through the whole process. It's all there.
Oh, yes, of course it is, yes.
it used to be said that trekkers around the world were shiny, happy people. And then, of course, the internet gets invented, and then you get people who like Star Trek Discovery, and then you get people who just diss it, and they start talking about social justice warriors and say, wow, did it get a third season? And, you know, they go back to the days of Star Trek, the original series. The fans brought it back for season three. This time around, the network brought it back. It's, Larry, do you not get frustrated at times when you think, look, they're trying. They had the Talosians in the latest series of Star Trek Discovery. All right, Michael Burnham might not be a person you want to kind of bring home to mum or whatever. But, you know, in terms of the overall thing, are they not getting slightly better? Is it all the fault of Alex Kurtzman? Lots of loaded questions there. Welcome back to the Midweek Drive. Dr. Trek, Larry Nemechek.
Well, Alex, I'm reeling from your litany there, but it's all right. It's all true, yes. Things are getting better, yes.
Well, they have to, let's face it, because otherwise, when we go back to the era of 2016, when those immortal words...
Hey, this is Larry Nemechek, Dr. Trek, and you're listening to the Midweek Drive.
...were first uttered. And yeah, we've come around again to actually Sci-Fi Scarborough 2019. Mm-hmm. And Eloise, I think, is coming up to Scarborough.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's a fun show. I urge everyone to go, even though I won't be there. I hear a rumor that it's still going to be a great weekend.
Exactly. Well, this weekend, conceivably, Sci-Fi Weekender with Brian Blessed, Christopher Judge, Stargate, Teal'c, and Sam Jones. Savior of the universe.
Go, Flash.
I love you, but we only have 20 more seconds to run. Oh, yeah, it's a wonderful stuff. Let us move on, because in the studio we have Rory McGowan.
Yes, we do.
Who has just revealed that he's now totally sussed when it comes to Boss Nass, apart from realizing that it was Brian Blessed in The Phantom Menace. But when it comes to Trek or Doctor Who, he's still very much in that kind of mundane area, that sort of sense of kind of maybe wants to know, but doesn't quite want to step into the whole sequence.
Well, no, I'm very knowledgeable about Doctor Who. It's more Star Trek that I've not really tried my hand at.
I was going to say, that's in your DNA, isn't it? I mean,
Exactly. Eloise, of course, who is a keen aficionado of fantasy, Star Trek, and other sort of series for that. But again, quite a keen Doctor Who fan, Paul McGann in particular.
Definitely Paul McGann.
Yeah. Exactly, and also works behind the scenes at various events and conventions and so on.
Yeah, I'll do my best.
Exactly. Yeah. Ben Lewis, who is, as he said himself, going to actually finally lose his science fiction convention going cherry this very weekend in Sheffield.
Yes, I am. Although I still have very little knowledge of sci-fi, so I better scrub up, really, haven't I?
But you like your Thunderbirds, you like your Gerry Anderson, you like your James Bond.
Yeah, and James Bond's not really sci-fi, is it? I like Star Wars.
And there we are.
But Star Trek, I'm afraid to say...
So if, Ben, I was to put a question such as, what would be the in-universe reason for the Romulans having forehead ridges in the Next Generation era? You'd be lost.
Well, I'll just give you a random answer. I don't know. He probably was had a bad day or something. I don't know.
Probably they had a bad day, Larry. Do you think Justin Ozer would have actually appreciated that with his Twitter question about that? You know, had he just missed something, etc., to which you said, poor Romulans playing second fiddle to the Klingons again and totally passed over for a bumpy head at explanation, which, you know, no Klingon upgrade and so on.
Yet,
exactly. Because who knows what could happen?
It only took 28 years, something like that, for the Klingon to come through. So, Romulans hang in there.
Each of them. And in the delights of Humberside, which is the originating part of the galaxy that Ellen Granger is based in, Ellen, your views on Star Trek?
Unfortunately, more of a Star Wars fan, and I know very little about Star Trek.
Right, yeah. It's okay. There's only, about 1,000 episodes or so to actually work through in many ways, Larry, and that's before we get into the novels, etc. So she can start at the beginning, really, with The Cage. You've got 3 years, 3 years of the degree programme. We'll work our way through that. Lots of exciting things going, including, in fact, the news that there will no longer be any more Chris Pine, Zachary Quinto, or indeed J.J. Abrams-oriented movies, because, darn it, those cast numbers, they're asking for far too much money.
Well, they were asking for, the two in particular, were asking for the money they were promised up front.
No, exactly.
And
suddenly...
Yeah.
So they were sticking with it. They were sticking with that whole thing. But, I mean, let's talk very briefly, because I think I'm probably, together with yourself, Larry, I think we're probably the sole people who have actually seen Star Trek Discovery, even Chris Dowes from this very university, who writes the column Treknology in the same magazine that you write for, Star Trek Magazine, of course. He's saving it to watch with his partner as a binge series. You know, he's going to binge watch the whole thing. You know, it's gone a third round. How do you feel it's been? Has it been good? I'll nail my colours to the mast and say, for me, the Return of the Solutions, best bit of the whole thing so far. Other areas, yeah, some didn't work, but what about yourself?
Oh, well, I love the way they just embraced the Solutions and even showed the clip of the original footage. We were all in shock because they wind up with Jeffrey Hunter's head and face and then go right to Anson Mount's face and you go, oh, I get it. I mean, if you didn't get it before, but it was pretty ballsy to run the footage, you know, on the face of it and say, no, this is us. We embrace it. We know there are changes, but we're going to put it out there. I have to tell you, though, I thought there was some kind of a commercial for some new remastered Blu-ray edition of The Cage at first. It took me a couple of seconds. I was like, wait, what? Oh, my God.
Because there is still that line that's put forward that actually this is a prequel to the Kelvin timeline and not the original Prime timeline, and that's all done with respect to the legacy of Larry Moonves, who's obviously gone and left CBS, saying, sort it out, Alex, it's 5 years, get it sorted, or what's that effect? Not that I'm suggesting that Les Moonves actually speaks in a kind of faux Cockney gangster manner, but he could do.
I don't even want to think about Les Moonves.
No, it's best not to, you know.
Well, you know, but there's four more episodes to go, and they were just at Paley Fest, and they keep, you know, with this time-traveling, spoiler alert here, this whole time-traveling Red Angel plot and all that, it's so open-ended. On the side, they keep promising, Alex Kurtzman keeps promising that all things are going to be wrapped up and taken care of canon-wise. So we could be in some big cataclysmic reset of things.
And is that cataclysmic reset button? I mean, let's face it, the Midweek Drive, we've already had six temporal resets over the last two decades. And, you know, you think, I mean, there are people here who maintain that the Rory McGowan who had a major beard that he used to sort of speak to on the show is not the Rory McGowan who's now clean shaven. It still happens. You know, it's like Rory McGowan mirror universe version, Rory McGowan this universe version. It's very good. We'll try and sort of fathom it out, but it can be quite confusing. What's the most confusing science fiction plot you ever encountered, Eloise?
Does Lost count?
Yeah, well, that was J.J. Abrams, of course.
Yeah, I've watched it about eight times and I still go, eh?
Right up to the very end when they're in a church and you think, have they actually done?
Yeah.
See, the question's over the sort of J.J. Abrams legacy, perhaps, really. I don't know.
I like it, but also I don't like it.
And that ultimately is the Heisenberg uncertainty principle, Larry, which, you know, she likes it, and at the same time, she doesn't like it. It's like omniscient criticism. The internet could learn a lot from this show. If only they would listen. They have ears, but they do not listen. That's the important thing. So, Larry, we are talking about heading off to, well, it's the season of conventions, really. We've got three heading up, one of which is Sci-Fi Weekender. And then, of course, we follow that up fairly rapidly with Steve Dickinson's Sci-Fi Scarborough, followed by the Sci-Fi London Film Festival. Got a variety of other bits and pieces from there. What advice would you give Ben and Eloise, and maybe one or two other folk who might be sort of thinking about doing that, when it comes to the event itself, or the events themselves? What's convention etiquette? For Ben, definitely.
Yeah, convention etiquette. Well, if you're a newbie especially, just try to do it. They have the schedule posted in advance. Know what your interests are. And if you're really a first-timer, you're going to want to go to see people talk and autographs. If you're doing that whole thing, just get the schedule. Find your priorities because it will be, depending on the size, it will be very easy to get completely snowed under. So it helps if you have a friend. Well, you're not alone, but anyway, just know what
it is. Ben Lewis, so I don't know if he has any friends. I mean,
probably not.
Just as you, Alex.
No value judgments. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
No, it can get overwhelming depending on if any of those are really really huge affairs. It can get a little overwhelming, but just look at a schedule and map out what you want to be where, and that way, when things go south with schedules, you can keep your priorities. But the other thing is, be open to what is unscheduled. And that includes other fans. And when you're standing in line, sometimes you can make a new friend for life. So just be open to that, too.
Have you ever attended a convention at all as yet, Ellen?
I attended one back in my hometown of Bridlington at the Spa, which is quite near Scarborough, I think. And I think it was also a sci-fi one.
Excellent. That's good. And you were born in Scarborough, I believe.
I was indeed.
So when we make our way to Scarborough, do we look for the blue plaque on the sign which says Ellen Granger was born here?
Obviously.
Sorry, I just wanted to clarify that because it's very important. Okay, Rory, any questions you want to put to Larry Nemechek about Romulans with forehead ridges, technology, anything really?
Well, I'm not quite that knowledgeable about Star Trek, as I've already said. If you were to go to any of those sci-fi conventions over the weekend, Larry, is there anyone that you would particularly be looking forward to meet?
You see, I mean, it depends who's there. Now, again, I'll just run through the names for Sci-Fi Weekender.
Yeah,
lots of writers, exactly, because you kind of presuppose that Larry Nemechek could use his powers of telepathy to actually say, oh, yes, of course, I know exactly who's going to be
there. I'm very
sorry. It's all right. It's fine. That's why I'm here, to translate. Sometimes. It's like the Vulcan mind meld. Rory, my mind to your mind. My thoughts to your thoughts.
I would say... Further down the line, Destination Star Trek, which is the official licensed Star Trek convention for Europe, which is coming back to Birmingham this fall, is going to have one guest in particular that I'm very proud to have helped out, because two or three weeks ago on my podcast, The Trek Files, we were able to expose to the world, finally, the true identity of the woman who played the human form of Isis the Cat in Assignment Earth, the episode on the original series that was meant to be a pilot. And this contortionist singer-dancer named April Tatro, we gave to the world. She had no idea that she was a mystery, but there you go, her 5 hours' work. But it's one of those things that no one ever knew, and we even had the wrong answer for a few years, which became a scandal, which didn't have to be a scandal because she wasn't even the right woman. Mm. But we've done that, and now she is going to be a guest at Destination. Hey. With her, you know, an Isis Catwoman form.
Yeah, that has brought coughs to
Claire Shock.
Exactly. I mean, yeah, that is my cat. Let's see the line there.
There we go.
I think Gary Seven needs another series somewhere. The pilot should have actually developed into a whole new Assignment Earth sort of series, and it would have just been a magical place accordingly. Almost as magical as receiving the last two questions, which is going to be delivered to you by Ellen. Ellen's looking at her mobile device here to check that she actually knows the last two questions. She has actually written them down, so off you go.
Have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link today?
Larry? I would say even hyper-reasonably interesting.
Hyper-reasonably. That's good. Next one.
Will you be joining us again soon?
As soon as you'll have me.
Brilliant. You see, live long and prosper, Larry Nemechek. It'll all work out splendidly in the end.
Siren Radio.
Weather.
Or indeed, as we said when we spoke to Dr. Trek, and as recorded back in 2016.
Hey, this is Larry Nemechek, Dr. Trek, and you're listening to the Midweek Drive.
And it was you, Steve Dickinson, you on the other end of the phone line in Scarborough, the town in England where Ellen Granger was actually born and came upon the planet for the first time, that effectively put us together in person, so to speak, Larry Nemechek and the Midweek Drive. And Larry's never looked back, frankly, Steve.
Oh, that's good to hear.
I think Garrett Wang was actually with you there as well. You had on that particular year, so we had the joys of Ensign Kim from Star Trek Voyager. Wondrous indeed. Times indeed.
Complete, it was.
Yeah, complete blank looks from most of the people in the studio. Primarily, Steve, because Rory is a predominantly Doctor Who fan.
I am.
Ben is primarily a James Bond, Gerry Anderson, Star Wars fan.
Yeah, I could agree with that.
Sounds good.
Good choice. Eloise is very much a Doctor Who fan, but is open to all range of other bits and pieces because Eloise has not only had the experience of being part of the fandom, but also working as part of the assistants for, I think Steve will allow you to mention the company, even though Ben will be coughing over the whole thing.
So
that'll be a good little coffee
ride,
that's what we'll call it.
Yeah, it's rather like actually sort of doing a kind of a whole show in the midst of like the unwell, the unclean, the sort of the leper colonies of the world in many ways.
Is that the plague?
Well, clearly, exactly. So wonderful.
The
In case, Ellen, you go down with the flu bug, Ben is the person responsible, okay?
Just to let you know.
It's just, so legal ramifications from that point of view. Contagion, disease, unwell. Yeah. Yes. Anyway, Eloise, would you like to mention the name of the company you've worked for?
MCM.
MCM. It's not a patch on Sci-Fi Scarborough, but, you know, that's just the way forward from that point.
Yeah. I think I've heard of them,
Exactly. Yeah, they would kill for the Sci-Fi Scarborough thing. How's it shaping up, Steve? Because it's literally, I mean, this weekend we're at Sheffield for Sci-Fi Weekender, as it keeps on saying, all this monotonously now. Next weekend it is Sci-Fi Scarborough, and on the Saturday we'll be leaving Lincoln probably around about 6:30 a.m. in the morning, all the way to head up to Scarborough to actually see the delights of what's going to be happening. What can the folk look forward to?
I think your trip will be worth it, yeah. We've put together a killer show. It's shaped up absolutely brilliantly. I'm still, like today, talking to guests, just in case we could bring someone in last minute, but they were slightly out of our price range, but it was a really interesting guest. I was going to give you an exclusive, actually, on it. You would have been the first to know, but it fell through. But we had a lovely conversation by email, and he was very funny. And he's in Luther, actually, as well, but he was in Star Wars, yeah.
I think you can calm down, Eloise. It was not going to be Paul McGann. I don't think Paul McGann has done Sci-Fi Scarborough as yet, but you never know.
Not yet. He's on my list.
Yeah, there we are. And if he's on Steve Dickinson's list, he's going to be rounded up. It's a bit like Steve Dickinson, the Scarborough equivalent of the Canadian Mounted Police. He always
That's exactly what it's like.
Gets his person.
Exactly. I do my best, yeah.
When was the last time, Ellen, you were actually in the town of your birth, Scarborough, as opposed
to Christmas time.
Christmas time, right.
So
let's do a bit of nostalgia here for Ellen, because I was talking about where you're based with Sci-Fi Scarborough. And let's start off with, where is the Dickinson Cafe? Let's see if Ellen's actually been
in the Cafe. I'm going to guess it's in the Long Hill, right by the sea.
I was actually going to ask Steve, but you've already guessed that.
Oh, well.
And I don't know whether you're right or wrong, basically, because I also have never been in the Dickinson Cafe. So whereabouts is the cafe, Steve?
Mojo's Music Cafe is on Victoria Road.
Mojo's Music Cafe, Victoria Road.
Castle Road, yeah.
Do you know of where he speaks?
I have a vague idea where Victoria Road is.
Let's move to even more fun things. Where is the location for Sci-Fi Scarborough, Steve?
It is at the absolutely stunning, beautiful, amazing Scarborough Spa. The greatest venue I've ever been to in my life for a convention. And that's only because it's really interesting, not for no other reason than that.
I would agree with you, but then people might say I'm biased. So, Ellen.
It is beautiful, indeed.
Yeah. See, Eloise, you can look forward to this, the grand sort of...
I'm very excited.
They're trying to rescue it as we speak. There's a load of work being done on the cliff above it. Yeah, they're firing 4,500 giant metal pitons into the cliff to try and save it tumbling onto the spar. So
because that'd be messy. I mean, you'd have all of those conventioneers. You'd have the celebrities having to fight their way through the rubble. You wouldn't know where you were.
It'd be a mudslide. It's a bit of a mess up there at the moment where they've been working, but they've tidied it up and I think they're pretty much ready. I've put the wording on them, like, this better be ready, that better be clear, this better be done. Because you've got to go around and keep checking the site, you know, when they're working on it and make sure. Because you know what these workmen are like when they get behind schedule? They never catch up again, so...
Yeah, I mean, unless, of course, Steve, they're building a bridge in Lincoln, in which case they're really out of the case, are they not, Ben? I mean, they're just
at it. They decide they might leave it a year just for the element of surprise.
Anyway, it bodes well for so many reasons. Ellen, what questions would you like to put to Steve about the event, about Scarborough, about all sorts of things, really? Because you're currently living in...
Bridlington.
Oh, lovely.
So what questions do you want to put to Steve now?
What questions? Why should we come to Scarborough Sci-Fi Convention?
Why should you come to Sci-Fi Scarborough? Well, we have, obviously, guests, and we have trading, and we have all the things that a normal convention has, but we have more, because we fill all 12 areas with all sorts of things, like combat displays and training, lots of props and photo ops. We've got the Enterprise D bridge set in there. From Leeds Bradford Starfleet, we have body painters, we have an arcade filled with modern retro gaming, and we also have some students in this year who are alpha testing some software that they've created, some games they've created, so that's really interesting, and a lot of Fortnite Battle Royale tournaments, because you know that's a thing, isn't it? The place is full of Daleks, it's full of R2 units, because the R2 builders are coming again and bringing as many as 15 astromechs with them, so the place is going to be buzzing. We're full of costuming groups. We've got the 99th Garrison coming, we've got the Britsit Judges, we've got the Sentinel Squad, who are bringing 40 suits per day into the place, and we've got a whole load of tabletop gaming as well in one room. I've packed it out to the max, and tonight there was a couple of announcements going up tonight, and I'll fill you in on them now, because you might as well have the exclusive on it. They're in the schedule already, but nobody quite knows what they are. We've got a couple of talks going on. One of them is by a guy called Charles Cecil, OBE, who is the co-founder of Revolution Games, who created the Broken Sword game dynasty. This guy, I used to play his games when I was a kid. He used to work for Arctic Computing. You know, with the text-based adventure games where you would just click a yes or no or left or right. He made those, and he got in touch via someone else, and I said, would you like to come and do a talk? And he said, yeah. And I was absolutely blown away, because this guy, he's like a legend, you know, to a lot of gamers and people that have been into gaming for a long time. So I'm really chuffed with Charles Cecil's announcement tonight, and I think a lot of people will go for that. And then the other announcement is something that we're running on Saturday and Sunday at 3 till 5 in the Regency Room, which is tucked out the way, because we're going to need it to be. We've got a guy doing conspiracy theory talks. Now, this is a thing that I wanted from year one, because it's very, very interesting for one. And number two, it's very, very mind-blowing for people. And I think people deserve to have their minds blown at a convention. And this will do it. If the convention doesn't, then he's a guy called the Genie. He dresses up as the Genie. You'll see him tonight when he pops up, I think 8 o'clock on the Sci-Fi Scarborough Facebook. And he's an incredible guy and incredibly knowledgeable. He's a local guy, and it's taken me 5-6 years to find him and talk to him and ask him and sort of say, will you do this? And he went, yes, I will. And I was like, this is going to be brilliant, because there's nothing more interesting than conspiracy theory, let's be honest.
The Genie will be popping up on the Sci-Fi Scarborough Facebook at 8 o'clock this very day. Eloise, has your mind been suitably blown?
It has, especially by the word Daleks. I've just...
lots of Daleks. And a TARDIS.
Oh, well, that's where I'll be all Friday.
Replica TARDIS. There'll be pictures taken, coming out of it, you know.
I won't leave it. That's the problem.
Except it'll be a Saturday, Eloise. Because that's what we're doing Sci-Fi Scarborough. You turn up on Friday, but Friday for Sci-Fi Weekend.
My brain. It's
time. It's a TARDIS thing. Because you did so well last time around, I think I'm going to ask you again. Ellen, last two questions for your fellow Scarborough soul. Go for it. Has he had a reasonably interesting telephone chat? Is he coming back again?
Have you had an interesting telephonic link with us today?
Hey, it's a pleasure as always communicating with you guys. Thanks.
I feel it's some kind of communication, but, you know, whether it's life as we know it, I never know. But we'll see you soon. And the next one, will you come back?
Will you be joining us soon? Again soon?
I would love to. Thank you.
And we'll be joining you. And we'll be joining Phil Leonis, possibly talking about conspiracy theories on Siren Radio. Frankly, Lincoln's finest.
How are we going?
So every so often we decide to actually rummage through our collection of audio idents that we haven't actually featured for quite some time, indeed actually over a year, and this is why we came up with this little goodie.
The truth is always out there, sometimes way out there, with the Midweek Drive team on Siren 107.3 FM.
Life was so simpler then. Siren Radio and various other things, and yeah, Phil Leonis. Ooh, you're back with us as headphones are moved around to microphones. Yeah, Louise, honestly, you move the headphones close to the microphone, you get wee. It's called HowlRound of feedback. Don't worry, it's quite all right. I mean, Ben spent the entire sort of 2 hours coughing his guts out, so it's quite all right, you know.
If you're blocking that out, so it's all good.
Exactly. It's almost as though you could have your site hacked. Do you know what, Ellen Granger, is your first full midweek drive? How's it been going for you?
How's it been going? Yeah. Oh, it's been going okay. A couple of stumbles, but not too bad.
I think you've been perfect, really, from that point of view. I mean, the stumbles, obviously, from our point of view, discovering whether it's Ben, Rory, Ben,
you've done
always
better
difficult.
Than me.
We just stumble our way through the shadows.
Well, no, you say that. I like to feel as though we stagger backwards into the future, looking longingly at the past. And what was Steve Dickinson at Sci-Fi Scarborough so excited about conspiracy theories? conspiracy theories? And what would be the ultimate Amazon Prime video to get hold of? Completely free if you're on Amazon Prime, but the truth is out there. Have we seen it yet? Lots of other things to do, including Flash Gordon. Yes, Phil Dearness. On Friday, we may well be meeting Brian Blessed and Sam Jones in Sheffield. Is that a movie theme idea, or is that a movie theme idea?
Go, Flash, go!
Yes!
Exactly. Okay, so you've brought up the truth is out there. You brought up conspiracies. Mm-hmm. So I want to roll up my sleeves and get into this with you. So I have, as you know, you've been a big supporter. You've been a guest before on my free weekly podcast, Chill Pack Hollywood Hour, which until this week had been released for 618 consecutive weeks without fail. Not always easy, but without fail. And this is the first time we're ever missing a week. We recorded a show last week in which, among other things, we just started talking about scary stories about AI, about artificial intelligence, including a great one that I witnessed through our friend Louis Savvy in Sci-Fi London and a script competition that they were having. It's a spectacular story about what AI was capable of years ago.
Louis shared it with us last Thursday.
And no sooner than we finish recording this, and as you know, we don't stream live. We record these. We do a little bit, very little bit of editing, and then we upload the podcast to our various platforms. By the time I went to those platforms, our website was gone. Just gone. Wiped off the internet altogether. And so we've had to try to rebuild with very little success, and nobody seems to be able to get to the bottom of it. I did a radio show this last weekend called Paranoia Radio, and it's, as the name suggests, it's about conspiracy theories. And they asked, what is going on with your podcast? And I told them, well, I don't know whether this is even possible, whether I should even be worried about this. All I know is the coincidence is really quite amusing that we're talking about the dangers of AI and then our website goes missing. And they're telling me, no, really, there is a cause for concern. By the time I got off the radio show with them, my internet was now down. And nobody at my internet provider can figure out why I don't have internet. I have a signal. It's just they're locked out. I'm locked out. Something is preventing the use of the internet now.
Eloise, can you help?
No, but someone has stolen all my lighting that I've done over the past year. I went to the desk the other day and it's all wiped and I don't know where it's gone.
All of your lighting?
Yeah. All my settings, everything that I've done for the whole year, and it's been wiped, and I don't know where it went or who did it. So,
Can I tell you what bothers me the most when this comes up, that people suggest helpfully? They suggest this helpfully. They say, well, you know, Mercury's in retrograde.
Yeah. Because as all astrologers will be aware, that means that communications tend to go backwards when Mercury goes retrograde. It's a natural sort of thing. Yeah. Of course, there is the astronomical viewpoint, as put forward by the late Sir Patrick Moore, that as far as astrology is concerned, there's one born every minute. Can you help with Phil's challenge?
No. Could be the router, but sounds a bit more.
Could be the router. Ellen says, could be the router. That could be the best piece of advice. Exactly.
It doesn't explain the website going missing, but it does explain the internet problem. And those could be unlinked, unrelated to each other. That is absolutely true. And look, that which does not kill me only makes me funnier. It also does make me weaker and easier to kill, though. So.
It was G. Gordon Liddy who actually said that, and he was quoting Nietzsche. So it just goes to show the message that comes across.
Hey, are we still on the air? You should check just to make sure that I haven't now cancelled your show.
No, Ben, please, steer away from the cough. I am looking at the Chill Pack Hollywood, our avenue of fame in many ways that we have here, because we have, I mean, how would you describe that, please, Rory, for the benefit of the listener, as we're looking at a site which says Chill Pack Hollywood, our number 617.
Well, it's a lovely, well, it seems to be gravel path there with a couple of piles of leaves on either side of them, with a lovely rows of trees.
Not ours. We didn't put that on there. And it's great that we've been able to restore the data because, you know, the metadata, because the descriptions and the tags and things like that. The fact that all the media's gone is a little problematic. But,
well, I mean, there is, because normally at the end of the descriptor for the show, and Phil works very hard, as you'd expect from a graduate of the UCLA, to actually produce, and also a director, producer. He's all together. And normally we actually have little buttons here that we actually press and sort of say, it's all there. Gone, Ben. Gone.
Disappeared.
Southsidebroadcasting.podbean.com is the way to go. That's all there for. It was straightforward, you know, reliable.
Although, I do have a question. Phil, what's the biggest conspiracy theories that you like the most? Or that you believe in? Let's put it that way.
For instance, Phil, well, giving you time to think.
Belief is the interesting question. Belief is one of my pet little themes here, because I grew up at a time where I was taught that belief was simply a matter of good manners, that we know when someone is being authentic with us, and so the least we can do is believe them. It doesn't mean we have to live our lives according to that belief or to what they believe, but we should at least believe. We can believe a myriad things. We can hold the tension of opposites between things we believe. Now, if you're asking me what I think the truth is or what is factual, that might be a different issue altogether. Where conspiracy theories are concerned, the one that, I'm not joking, it seems like I am, but one that has really captured me right now is Brexit.
As a conspiracy.
As an American.
As something that has been in the works, the disinformation campaign that had been in the works for quite some time. The idea to instill chaos, the idea to weaken the West, to weaken democracy, to weaken global economic systems. So I'm intrigued by that. So it sounds like I'm just doing it because it's in the news, but it really is a fascinating case because It points a way of what the future holds. This is not going to be, what you're facing there is not going to be a standalone. It's what I think we're looking at more and more of, unless we start. Yeah, it sets precedent. Very well said.
Eloise, are you worried?
I don't care anymore.
That's the sort of wonderful line that, I mean, Paul McGann will be proud of that. As the companion that Charlie Pollard always wanted to be, you know, as portrayed by India, clearly that was by India Fisher, but not the continent, obviously.
Can I want to just drop this in, and, you know, look, wherever anyone stands on the EU, I just tweeted about this earlier.
On the French, that's where you should stand on the EU, on the French.
I was watching some videos about it, and I saw, Brexiteer MP Michael Fabricant speaking. I don't know if you... Yeah. What a great name, Fabricant.
I mean,
You can trust someone named Fabricant, and that's what I wrote, was no matter where you stand on the EU, let's all agree that Michael Fabricant needs a hard Brexit from that wig.
He denies it's a wig, though. If you have a look on Google, there's a few articles that tell you where he's been interviewed, and he says, no, it's not a wig. But I'm not sure how much I believe it.
But that would make it worse. Well, exactly, because that would just make it worse. Like, why would you claim to have hair that's that bad? At least if it's a wig, you have an excuse.
The image has just shocked Eleanor. It's her first show, and I think actually Rory...
Like, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Kind of looks like a what cosplay?
A Donald Trump cosplay, a little bit.
A Donald Trump cosplay.
I can see it.
Yeah, the views of Ellen Granger, born in Scarborough.
Welcome to Siren Radio.
It just addresses a whole range of things. If people are wondering what happened to Joe Ramsay, he didn't answer his phone. We're stop at the start, we're going to have to hold back because we tried, but we didn't get through.
I just there was another fun one that I'm a conspiracy kind of that deals with the paranormal that I've started to investigate because I think there might be a really fun movie in it. And it was about how during the government's Operation Blue Book, back in the 50s when this began, when groups were starting to get together to study the phenomenon of UFOs, where people who had seen UFOs would form these clubs, form these organizations.
Ufologists.
And ufologists, yeah. This is the early days of it in the 50s. And early on, shortly after they formed, the KGB infiltrated these organizations. And in order to keep an eye on the KGB, then the CIA infiltrated these organizations.
It was so much simpler when they were just referred to as Foo Fighters. You know, that was all. They were unidentified flying objects. They were called Foo Fighters, because that was the whole thing. I mean, it would have been a lot better if they kept the Foo Fighters name. I mean, there are lots of people who would actually have been happier with respect to that.
Well, and now you've just explained to me who will provide the soundtrack to the movie.
So exactly. See what I was doing there? It's all subtly put together. Tessa Snott, bless her, two more Sound and Country Visions were recorded over the weekend, and she was very excited. So was Chloe Rose when I pointed out we'd also featured Bruce Olaf Solheim, also from Norway in his background, on the programme. He's a college professor in California, recently sort of chatting to Elvis Presley and John Wayne because he has that investigation of a professor of parapsychology and indeed an alien from an ancient time.
My heritage is Norwegian.
Yes, yeah. And Tessa was very keen on actually saying we must get Halloween special put together. In fact, she said when she heard Bruce speak, it's time to put him in touch with Phil Linus. I don't know if Phil can cope with that.
Oh, is it time for that?
We'll get over Brexit
first. One doesn't rush these things.
Exactly.
One thing after another.
We had Maurice Chevalier being eulogised by Annette Andre earlier in the production. One day, when you get your website back, so many goodies on the whole programme. William Coles, Anna Lewis, Abigail LeMay's phone was actually in the X-ray machine. Is that the reason why?
Yeah, she's been saying sorry for the past hour, so I find that quite funny.
That's what they make her do in the X-ray machine?
She's from Canada, you know. If you're going to go to Iceland and you're from Canada, you're obviously going to have to put up with a whole range of things. I'm sure
that's
she...
hilarious. She's from Canada. She's from Canada as a response to she's been apologizing makes so much sense.
Mm, exactly.
No, I'm also going to be the one to say it.
Did she apologize to the whole show?
Yeah.
Oh, bless. But anyway.
So I said that she'd made you cry.
Sorry. Sorry. That's how Dean always says, sorry. Sorry.
Exactly. Oh, well, Phil, I know you haven't heard the show, so you've missed out on Steve Dickinson, Fiona Curzon, her tales about the NHS. Extraordinary. Well worth listening to again. But would you like to ask the team, and let's start off with Eloise, in terms of how she found the production, now that she can now say, with the arrival of Ellen Granger to the team, she's no longer the newbie. She's no longer the fresh-faced kid on the block, basically. She's now a seasoned pro when it comes to Midweek Drives, yeah. Off you go, please, Phil Linus.
Eloise, as a season pro, what have you enjoyed the most on today's show?
The ability to hum for 20 seconds?
Yeah, I don't know.
All right.
Sorry.
Come back to that. Would you like to go to Rory?
Well, why don't I just punt that question forward to Roy, since he's had a little more time to think about it.
Or even Rory. It's Rory as in Rory Gallagher, not Roy as in Roy Race.
Yes.
You mean Rory Calhoun, the Great Western star.
Of course, yes. Yeah.
Sorry. Rory, what's been your favourite part of the show?
Well, I think it was speaking to Fiona. I think Fiona had a lot of things to put right in that segment, and she did her very best to do so.
Absolutely. You've either got Ben or you've got Ellen Granger. Who do you wish to go to, Phil?
I want to know what Ben is up to these days outside the Siren FM studio. Mm-hmm. What's capturing your imagination? Nursing a cold?
Yes.
Isn't it springtime there?
I know. She's the most annoying thing ever.
It's springtime for Hitler.
He's given
it to
that
me was Maurice too. Chevalier. Never mind.
But, no, I have quite a few things on the sort of final front for the job hunt type thing. As well as, obviously, dissertation. I think it's called thesis in America. Is that the American term?
Both. We use both, yeah.
Both, okay. So, yeah, I'm doing that in the minutes, and then... yeah, just trying to sort my life out, really, before I move off from university.
That's a lifelong experience, Ben. You know, I mean, yeah, spent the last 40-odd years trying to do that, never get there.
That gives me all hope in the world, then.
Sorting life out is on my to-do list.
Yeah.
It really is.
Exactly.
Hey, you've just been married. That's a good start, isn't it?
Oh my goodness. Here's one of the good things, though, about that
it's a Hollywood marriage, Ben. Who knows what could have happened?
But after getting married, losing the internet is okay because it turns out I haven't needed to use Google at all because it turns out my wife knows everything. So
yeah.
Steady, Lily is listening, or maybe not. Anyway, we'll just wait and see. In a few weeks' time, and probably in days' time, I'll send another batch of idents because it's time we actually had more filled in as idents because we had lots of Phil Herdwood ones, so we'll work our way through that. But what about Ellen Granger? As I said, I mean, Ellen, bit of background, you're about to do communications and public relations. You're based in Bridlington, although you're born in Scarborough. You're generally a caring person because your flatmate basically broke her foot last week and you spent 9 hours in A&E just sort of sorting that thing through. Is she sorted out now, by the way? Is she listening? Do you want to give her a name check?
She's not listening. She's she's gone home this week, probably for the next couple of months.
With a broken foot.
Yes.
All right. So that I can put together an ident for Ellen Granger. Ellen, I want you to share with us something about yourself that would surprise us.
Something that would surprise?
Not necessarily shock. But,
yeah. What a surprise. I used to be a ballerina.
Oh, yeah. That's a good one.
Yeah, that is a good one. Yep, well done. Well said. Don't give us a round of applause, I think. Seconds to go before we head up to the news. So thank you, dear listener, for tuning in. Thanks to Anna Lewis, to Abigail LeMay. Oh, we thank her just for trying, because she's been...
Exactly.
William Curzon, Andre, Larry Namichek, Fiona Curzon, Steve Dickinson, Phil Leonis. That's it. We're out of here. Back again tomorrow morning with a whole heap of other goodies, etc. Last two questions, very briefly for Phil. Eloise.
Awesome. Phil, have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us today?
I just pray that I haven't, inspired an AI attack on the Siren FM studio. But it's been fun. It's certainly been worth it if that happened.
Oh, we'll know whose fault it is. And will you be joining us again sometime in the future?
Sometime in the future, when technology allows.
See, the message is there. You know, we won't wait for Skype, obviously, but maybe next week you'll be back, and there'll be a whole heap of other goodies as well, including authors and more magic. FM. Say bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
This is...